League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. How about that from Chad Johnson? Excellent interview. You always love other athletes in other sports that appreciate the global game. There's no doubt that he's 100% committed and loves the game of soccer. Nobody can take that away from him. So our thanks to Chad for coming on, Ocho Cinco. Hey, soccer fans, Amigo Energy excited for the start of the new soccer season. They want to remind you that whether it's spring cleaning or spring training camp, it's a great time of the year to shop for affordable energy with Amigo Energy. Now, this month's Amigo Energy featured product is Basics 24-month program. Amigo Energy Basics has no minimum usage fees, no customer service payment fees, just a great low rate. So look, don't let the dust gather. You want to save money, so do I, on your energy costs. Go to AmigoEnergy.com/SoccerMatters. AmigoEnergy.com/SoccerMatters. Shop it and sign up for Basics 24 and save money. Call 888-995-9299. Tell them you heard it on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. All right, I think it's that time.
Game on, man.
Here's Glenn Davis. Game on. With Game On for 90.
The best sports story on the planet. No, it was not the Denver Broncos and Peyton Manning winning the Super Bowl. No, it's not Steph Curry dropping in three-pointers with his eyes closed for Golden State. It is the Foxes. Yes, the Foxes. Leicester City is continuing to live out the impossible dream. Leading the Premier League by 5 points over Spurs now. To win the title and the booty that they hopefully can gather, which is the treasure of Champions League and Premier League money. So what in the name of Keith Weller, Frank Worthington, Gordon Banks, and Gary Lineker is going on here? With 8 games to go, Leicester City are in the driver's seat to win the Premier League title over giants like Arsenal, Manchester City, and Manchester United. So how have this collection of seemingly unknowns, the working men, gotten it done? Now, we've repeatedly heard that they would stumble, yet they haven't. The critics have said that this could never happen. Let's go right to the manager, Claudio Ranieri, who was a highly criticized choice. The experienced Ranieri was considered pulled off the scrap heap. His managing of this squad and his ability to keep them grounded, feet to the ground, and playing it game by game has been remarkable. They work for each other. They grind out wins. They're not hesitant to get the ball forward quickly to their big names. Well, they're big names now. Jamie Vardy and Riyad Mahrez. Names like Drinkwater, Okazaki, Conte, Schmeichel, Morgan, Alberton are all as solid as a rock, both on and off the field. These players are not acquaintances. They are friends in many cases, which in the modern era of football is a throwback. They've been through the wars together. Now, 2 years ago, this squad was in the English Championship, the second division, essentially. With the popularity of the Premier League worldwide, coupled with the amazing notion of this dream, this sporting piece that brings immensely powerful world to the table called possibility. It comes to the forefront. It's something we all understand. 5,000 to 1 odds to win the Premier League. Now, if only we had all put some money down on the Foxes. Here's to Leicester City, the greatest sports story in the world at the moment, bar none, every man's team. And that is Game On for 90. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get something in. Still to go tonight, we've got Robbie Earle on the program. We've also got Dynamo manager Owen Coyle. So here we are with the Houston Dynamo. We're 2 games into the MLS season. The Dynamo have left us refreshed, upbeat. 8 goals in 2 home games. Goals coming through the run of play. A thrashing of rivals FC Dallas. Quality. Excitement. So is the magic finally beginning to come back after a long hiatus? are the Dynamo becoming a more relevant piece here in Houston? And will they be here in 2016? Now, let's be very clear. Last year, the manager, Owen Coyle, when he took over, he said, look, I got a lot to learn in this league, but there's no doubt he breathed energy back into the Dynamo body that needed reviving. A fresher purpose of play, not making the playoffs, that was something I expected last year as the building blocks were being put in place in a transition year. This is natural. This is what happens with football clubs. This is what is happening, quite frankly, with Manchester United. But you can bet your bottom dollar that Owen Coyle in this footballing market knows that soccer style, a purpose of play, combined with winning is essential to really expand the reach of the Dynamo product. 11 new players, a diverse squad that reflects the city now, subtle changes at BBVA like the supporters group moving to the North Stand, an underground bar called The Vault. That combined with hiring a GM, Matt Jordan, the acquisition of a USL reserve team, and improved seriousness around player development are part of this equation. Now, this is not a quick fix. This is only two games, but it's a great start. The Dynamo themselves, as an organization, are even doing what needed to be done a couple years ago, and that is really playing on the freshness of this organization now. The Dynamo have even used the word cathartic. You know what cathartic is defined as? The definition of cathartic is psychological relief through open expression of strong emotions. And that's what we felt this past weekend. And that's what we felt when the Dynamo smacked FC Dallas. That's a game you put a circle around because it's one we're going to go back to as a real changing of the guard. Now, the marketing of the painted black jersey was awesome. The Dynamo wore it on opening day. It was fun. The jerseys flew off the shelves. The biggest move has been to gain Gabriel Brenner as the majority owner of the Dynamo. Now, Gabriel Brenner, whose brother, by the way, Alfredo, was once a part owner of the Houston Hotshots in the indoor league in the 90s with Giorgio Bolangi, he's a direct link to the real football fan. Gabriel was born in Mexico. He's followed La Liga. He's followed the Mexican League. He's followed MLS. He's been a part owner of the Dynamo. Now he's the majority owner. So in Gabriel, we trust. It may only be two games. The signs are promising. The Dynamo have some catch-up to make. There is no doubt. But they are off to a good start. All right, let's go to the phone lines again. 713-780-3776. Let's get your thoughts in here tonight on anything and everything soccer. Dylan, what's on your mind? Soccer matters.
Hey, Glenn. How you doing, sir?
Doing great, buddy.
Well, I was at the game Saturday, and I'm really surprised that we didn't score some more goals in the second half. We just played laid back, and because like we just wanted to score four goals. But what I can say, the fans, Glenn, they should have do a more better job at trying to get back the cannon. You know, we get back the cannon, but we didn't get it back in fan for fashion. What do you think about that?
We didn't get it back in what type of fashion?
In fan fashion, like. Noise and rowdy, and because
of oh, you want us to get you want us to get more lively down there. Hey, by the way, when the Dynamo scored and the piped in Dynamo music comes, I want to hear the fans. I want the authenticity. I think we're robbing ourselves of the great voice that is authentic, and that is the Dynamo crowd. They make a big enough noise after goals as it is. I don't want to hear the piped in stuff. I hope we can get rid of that. Just my thought. I don't know. Do you like that? That whole piped in music,
you know,
after goals?
You know, we celebrate when we score big time, you know what I mean? Really loud and noise, but our banner was way up in the rafters, you know, and that was like, what's up with that?
Well, I moved the support. I like where the supporters group are actually now, because I think they can grow it up there. I think it's more of an area with, by hanging the banners, I think it looks really cool. I think it's gonna grow. I really do.
I hope it grows, Glenn, because you got young players now and they're playing very excited, and you just need that chemistry with them. But at least we gain the wins and we get back the cannon, you know.
Hey, and we did it. We did it in emphatic fashion, and it was against a very, very good team. And
yeah, it was.
It doesn't matter. Listen, I think the Dynamo had real pressure on them at the beginning of this year, because you know what? You don't get some good results. You don't have good performances the first two games. And fans go, okay, here we go again. And instead now everybody's uplifted. Everybody's excited. Now, look, we're back to reality in New York this weekend because you're likely going to be without Christian Maidana. You're going to likely be without Giles Barnes. I think I don't think there's any question. And now you're going to have to get it done without two very big pieces. So this is going to be a real test against the Red Bulls, who, by the way, are coming off a 3-0 loss and coming home in Harrison, New Jersey. So big test on the weekend for the Dynamo, but so far entertainment value has been through the roof.
Well, Glenn, I'm excited for the season for these guys. You know, we have, eight goals we score in two games. That is incredible. And the goals are scoring from crosses, so I hope they watch the tape and see how the goals is coming from crosses. A lot of crosses create a lot of goals. And let's support 110%. I'm coming out. I'm trying to bring friends and players. And I hope this season could be the season that we could get over the hump.
I think we're going to have a lot of fun this year. That's going to be my prediction, Dylan. Dylan, thank you, as always, for the great phone call on Soccer Matters.
You don't know, Glenn. ESPN Radio Houston, Soccer Matters. This is Dylan and with Glenn Davis. Big up, Glenn.
Big ups to you, Dylan. Thank you very much for the phone call tonight. So Dylan weighing in there. That guy's passionate, too. He's just like Chad Ochocinco. He's passionate. I hope you liked the Ochocinco interview. I think he's a fun guy. I think he's an interesting guy. And, you know, I used to wonder also, how serious is he really about soccer? Is he using it as a vehicle promotion for Ochocinco? And I say, no. This guy's a real deal. He loves the sport. He's traveling all over the world to watch it. Yes, he's privileged in that way that he can go to these games because, you know, he's friends with CR7 and things like that. But he was a down-to-earth guy. Good cat. And you know what? He's going to be back on the show. We're going to do some fun things with him. And he even said, you know what? He'll phone in from over at the Clasico in Spain and give us his thoughts. So good fun tonight with that. We got more to come. I think we're going to come back. What are we coming back with, Big D? I think we're coming back. What are we doing? We going Robbie Earl, I think, when we come back. All right, Robbie Earl, NBC, when we come back. We'll take a break. It is the Best in Soccer Talk, brought to you by Bud Light, the Gorgeous Gale. Don't forget, get over to the Gorgeous Gale for St. Patrick's Day this week. They've got Irish dancers, all kinds of great tap beer, a great exquisite cocktails. They've also got a wonderful whiskey offering over there. Go over there, see my good friend over there, Peter Kingston. It is the Gorgeous Gale in West University. St. Patrick's Day, that is the place to be. I think I'm going to be heading there as well.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Well, it's always a great night here on ESPN 97.5 where we can get NBC analyst on Robbie Earl. Robbie formerly played in the Premier League, also internationally, and he joins us now. Robbie, thank you, as always, for coming on the program.
Pleasure, Glenn.
Well, let's start it off what I think is the greatest sports story in the world. Tell me if you agree or disagree, but the Leicester City story is just something out of dreams.
There's a football miracle taking place, and we're quite privileged to be seeing it. And it's the kind of thing that, I don't know, we'll be telling grandchildren and grandchildren's grandchildren about this little team that one season looked like they were going out of the Premier League and had a fantastic run and stayed in it. And the following season, we're sitting top of the table with 8 games to go with a 5-point lead. And everything in place for this team to go on and create, like I say, football history, really.
And I know you've spoken about this so much. Everybody has repeatedly said, well, they're going to stumble. It'll happen at the Christmas break or when they play the bigger end teams in the league. It's never really happened. So let's go to Claudio Ranieri, because I just think he's been magical. He's almost like an old wise man that has just kept these kids grounded.
He's like the old wizard, you're right. And although I was one of them, and it's not being wise after the event. I mean, let me put my cards on the table. I was one of those when Ranieri was first appointed that said, didn't particularly see the fit, thought they would struggle. This isn't a guy who I thought would be able to work with players that were generally the lower end of the table. What has happened, as we've talked about, has been something special. And you make a great point, because I don't think he's had half as much credit as this guy deserves. I mean, when Sir Alex Ferguson was winning titles, we were very aware of his ability and the way he ran the dressing room. Jose Mourinho, you know, we know tactically and how he gets that siege mentality. And Pellegrini with the group of players, you know, we always look at the coach and give them lots of credit. And for some reason, I don't think Claudio Ranieri's had the credit he deserves. A couple of things really have been key that stood out to me over the last two home games with Leicester City. Norwich, about a week ago, they were struggling in the game. Norwich played a back five and stopped Vardy and stopped Mahrez, and it was a difficult game for them. He threw on Leo Ojoa, that worked. He got hold of the midfield a little bit more. He got Ojoa to score in the last couple of minutes. And then he did a brilliant thing for me, Glenn, when everybody else was going crazy in the stadium and the fans they were getting excited and the players were probably just getting another win and getting excited. He shouted onto the pitch and we had a couple of great shots to him saying to the players, concentrate, stay compact, stay focused, this ain't over yet. And those are the little things that sometimes you can get caught up in it. You can get caught up in the magic and the run and you think, it's another 1-0 and all of a sudden you go and let a goal in. So that was the first one a week ago. And again, we saw the game yesterday, and at times there's a little bit of frustration. I thought the crowd got nervous after about 70 minutes. The crowd went quiet. It was almost like they can't quite believe what was going on. He did another great thing, I thought, where he changed the whole atmosphere in the stadium. He got the fans going, he got them clapping, and they've got these rattles they go, and the noise changed, and the players on the pitch reacted to it, and it saw them through in the last 20 minutes. And those are the little nuances. These are the little things that great coaches do. It's the little details. Listen, you're not going to show Jamie Riyad Mahrez how to beat a defender. He can do that. But it's those little things that are important that the managers do in dressing rooms, in games, during the training ground that make the difference. And he's been outstanding, as you say. He's been this kind of mythical figure that's come into the league. And he's been a breath of fresh air the way he spoke, the way he's conducted himself. And they've got eight, I see it now, they've got eight more cup finals to do. Can they see it out, you know, come May?
It's been pretty remarkable. It's been so enjoyable to watch. In the overall perspective of the Premier League, to have teams like Leicester doing well here,
yeah.
And you know, I know people are going to condition it, well, it was a down year for Manchester United,
yeah,
and City, and I can't stand when I hear that because I think
it's
disrespectful to,
exactly,
to Leicester and Spurs.
Yeah. What we're seeing, I think, Glenn, and it's a very interesting time in British football. I think we're seeing a change of attitude. I think we're seeing a change in standards of the teams that were mid-ranking teams, mid to lower teams, who at times were just happy to be in the league, were happy to go to Old Trafford, to the Etihad, to the Emirates, and maybe get beat or draw a 0-0 and say that's a great result. We're seeing teams like Leicester City have this year, but like West Ham, like Southampton, like a Bournemouth have come into the league, like Stoke City, have gone to grounds and said, you know what, we're going to compete, we're going to go with a different mentality. And it's changed a lot of the dynamics in the league. I used to think that the Chelsea team under Mourinho were a bit like, I used to call them the Mike Tyson of his day, that people were beaten before they got in the ring with Tyson. I used to think some teams were beaten before they go out on the pitch with Chelsea. You know, the Mourinho doesn't get beat at Stamford Bridge. This Chelsea team can do everything. They'll fight. They can play. They can bully.
The aura.
They can do the physical. And if you think teams almost say, oh, you know, they're going to be too good. Well, all that's gone out the window now. A team like Leicester have changed the mentality of clubs. And there'll be other clubs now who'll be looking at the blueprint and saying, we need to be a little bit more aggressive. We need to look at recruitment. We need to go the next stage where we can maybe be challenging for Europe. You know, it's going to be difficult to do a Leicester and be top of the league. I think ambitions are going to change, and that's going to affect all those top clubs who have pretty much had it their own way for, you know, over the last 10 years.
Yeah, it really is kind of a changing of the guard in a way, and I don't see teams as being fearful, like you mentioned there, with the aura around Chelsea at those times. I just don't think they're fearful. Now, names like Drinkwater, Okazaki, Conte, Schmeichel, Morgan, Al Britton, I guess they're becoming more household names, right? But these guys just seem so selfless to me.
Yeah, listen, you know, and I don't want to be disrespectful to many of them, but, you know, the likes of Wes Morgan and Robert Huth and Danny Simpson and Drinkwater were sort of journeyman footballers, played most of the football lower league, you know, were never stars in the teams they've played in. But there's something about the collective, there's something about the spirit, the way they work. I mean, I was so as impressed with Jamie Vardy's ability or effort to go and win the header for the Okazaki overhead kick as the overhead kick it was. It's like, this team are selfless. You know, how many times Jamie Vardy's not been on a particularly great run since he sort of got 16, 17 goals. He's sort of got a couple since. But his work rate, his ability to chase back, at times he's in the fullback position. You know, selfless work. I mean, N'Golo Kante has been my star of the season. I mean, the work that this guy gets through, often unnoticed, putting out fires, starting attacks, putting people under pressure. I mean, there's got to be four or five N'Golo Kantes, and they just keep rotating them, because I don't believe one man can be running and working as hard as he can with such effect. But I think the biggest thing that I get about this group is it is about the group and it isn't about any individual. And that, you know, stands for so much in a team sport where often individuals get all the praise.
And I love the point you make about Jamie Vardy. Even though he's not scoring goals, he finds other ways to contribute. And whether that's when the ball's lost or as you mentioned there, winning the header that went to the game-winning goal. So, it's selfless. The focus just seems intense when the cameras get tight on these guys. It's amazing. Mm. Robbie Earle joining us here, NBC Sports. Let's move on to Arsenal and what seems to be a yearly sort of question. Yeah. Arsene Wenger, and are they soft, and where are they? Do you think they'll ever make a change, or are they just maybe happy with the way things are going?
And sort of March Madness is sort of something I've become aware of with the basketball out. And I just think that Arsenal have their very own version of March Madness, when somehow, sort of February, March time, it all seems to slightly go wrong for this Arsenal team. They're in the competitions, things are looking confident. You think they're not going to fall over as they have in the past. And then something happens, and whether it's league form, whether it's going out the FA Cup to teams they shouldn't, whether it's, you know, not performing in the Champions League, and they've almost put themselves in a corner now where they've got a huge Champions League game against Barcelona, which, in all honesty, I don't think any of us can really see them coming back from a 2-0 deficit away now in Barcelona. And then they've got to, you know, pick themselves up after that and be ready for the weekend. I think they go to Everton away at the weekend. So it's a huge period where this club have always been fragile. Have always been the questions like, can they stay in and around the race when it matters? And for all that we say that's great and good about Leicester being at the top, there's almost the mirror image of why we're thinking that Arsenal aren't going to do it. It's nothing to do with ability. It's nothing to do with quality. It's nothing to do with technique. I think there's enough personnel. And I know in an ideal world, you might have got another centre-forward and you might have got another defensive mid or whatever. But I don't think individually they're that short. And especially when you line their players up to the Leicester players, there's absolutely no doubt there's enough talent in that group. But the other things we've talked about, the selfless work, the desire, the drive, the mental strength that you have to have, is still a question with this this awesome team and why we're hitting March Madness now. And I have no kind of confidence, although I did sort of say at the beginning of the season, I think Arsenal win it this year. I've got to stay with them, obviously, but I'm doing it with no real confidence that they'll see it through.
He's Robbie Earle, NBC. Let's talk about Chelsea. A lot of names bantering around who takes over there potentially. Antonio Conte is one that I think the odds are getting a little bit higher for taking over. He's announced he's going to leave Italy at the end of the European Championships this summer. Would Conte be a good fit for Chelsea?
I think so, but I do believe that it's a bigger job, Glenn, than maybe some people thought, or maybe even he thought when he was offered the job. I think there's, not even the middle of March, Chelsea out of everything, no chance of really making Europe, out of all the cup competitions, not an awful lot to play for. I think a team that's unbalanced, that's lost its chemistry, I think there's some big decisions to be made on some big players. The John Terry scenario, we led to believe John's going to go, so you're losing another big pillar out of the dressing room that's lost the likes of Drogba, Cech and Lampard over the last few years. I think there's big calls to be had with Eden Hazard. Is he the right kind of guy you're going to build a club around in terms of ability and age? Everything looks in place, but is this guy as committed? Does this guy really want to play for Chelsea and go on and win things? Diego Costa's behaviour still is an issue to me. He's great a player and we love that he plays on the edge and brings a bit different. I just think there is a point where with this guy it's becoming a bit of a sideshow and there's a bit of a negativity that could hold you back. So I think there's big calls there. And then, you know, Nemanja Matic hasn't looked the same player. Cesc Fabregas has not really been in great form. I mean, the list goes on. Ivanovic, has his legs gone. So I think there's work to be done for the likes of, you know, and it, by all means, it looks like Conte's going to be the guy. If I was a Chelsea fan, I wouldn't be totally sort of looking forward to next season thinking it's all hunky-dory and we're back. I get the sense Chelsea could struggle to be top four. One, because of what we talked about. I think some of their invincibility is gone, that aura of presence that they had. And second, I think there's a little bit of sorting out to do with this group and this squad. And Conte, who has been fiery, might have to make some big calls, some big decisions before he gets things right.
Yeah, I'm with you. No question there. Some things are going to have to turn over in a very big way there, I would think. Let's move on and continue some Premier League talk here. I just can't stand this whole thing where coaches are hired and have negotiated and, you know, in other words, we know Guardiola's going to be at City.
Yeah.
And you got a lame duck coach there trying to win things. Yeah. I have to think it affects
players.
It's
bad on the guy who's in the job, and it's also bad for the guy coming in. And it's like this law of the jungle. Well, you know, it's been done on me, so I'll do it on somebody else. I think Pep Guardiola should be a classy guy in that. And one, he should also be concentrating on Bayern Munich and doing everything he needs to do there. He's winning Champions League or whatever before he leaves and not talking about Man City. And likewise, Pellegrini should be able to give him the respect to do the job. I mean, it was interesting when that happened, Glenn, and I know you will go on to the whole situation of other managers, but when that happened, we were talking on the show that it can go one of two ways. Either players can be kind of enthused that Pep's coming and think they've got to, you know, really put it in there because the new manager, no doubt, will be looking at DVDs and all the tapes.
Sure.
But in fact, it's kind of worked against City. It almost looks to me like some of the players have almost slightly down tools, certainly in the Barclays Premier League, as if, well, this guy's not being charged.
Oh, I'd agree. I agree with you 100%.
It worked against them.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I can't believe for a second it doesn't affect players. Knowing, you know, look at Yaya Toure, for instance. You don't think he's thinking about...
Doesn't look like he's bothered
absolutely.
Anymore.
Absolutely.
And that's City's problem in the league, why they're sitting fourth in the league. They're 12 points behind now, Leicester, who sit top. And to be fair, these days, I saw them, they played out a 0-0 with Norwich, and no disrespect, there's a gulf of talent between the two sets of players. But Manchester City didn't look that bothered, to be honest. As a group, they look like, well, we'll take a draw. We've got a Champions League game coming on. That will be important. And then even today, when they needed to go a little bit more, although they were 3-1 up, I know, from the first leg, but couldn't really click it in. It's almost as though they feel, this team, oh, we can turn it on and off when we like. And I don't think that's the case. And listen, if they end up with one of the bigger teams in the Champions League, and we all know that seems to be their focus now, they're through to the quarterfinals, they could get a bloody nose, I think.
No, I agree with you. I don't like the notion. I think it's unfair to the fans. I think it's terrible to managers who are in place.
Yeah.
I think it's very selfish, quite frankly, that, you know, we hear reports that Pep Guardiola is already talking to players about coming to City. And I don't know. It just really rubs me the wrong way in the world of football. But, hey, what do I know, right?
These things happen, mate. Yeah, there's plenty. But it just undermines the situation. And I don't think it helps the football clubs. And so, as businesses, I don't know why they do that. Why Manchester City particularly feel they need to do that and why Pep would feel he needs to make that known. I mean, Pep Guardiola is, you know, you also got to think, if I'm a Bayern Munich player, really, I don't want Pep's mind on what he's doing at City and what he's going to bring. I want his full attention on what we're going to do,
sure,
because that's who's paying his salary till the summer.
Yeah, imagine walking in the locker room every day and the guy's already announced he's leaving. You know that Carlo Ancelotti's coming. I mean, I think Bayern Munich just couldn't get a commitment out of him and just said, you know what, we're not waiting.
Yeah, they forced it a little bit, I think, because of Pep. And there's rumours with Pep, and as great a coach as he's been, that he's not the most loyal, and at times in negotiations he can sort of change his mind a little bit, that he's difficult to negotiate. So I think in that one, like you maybe said, I think Bayern Munich might have just decided, you know what, we're going to take the lead on this. We're not going to be hanging around. Because the problem is with most clubs now, and one of the reasons I think that we're getting this situation, Glenn, which is quite unique, of managers getting named and put in jobs, is that there's so many decent jobs available and people are filling the spaces up. So you don't want to get left short. Like if you're playing Munich or you're Manchester City, and I don't know, Pep could have gone to Manchester United or Pep could have gone to Liverpool or somewhere. And all of a sudden, like, you know, when the music stops, there ain't really the quality of guy you want. So it seems that people want to sort of nail, get the guys in early.
Well, it is very strange, and I think it's a very confusing thing. And Well, Robbie, as always, I thank you very much for coming on the program. Great stuff
always
as usual
pleasure,
from
mate.
You. And
let's do one before the end of the season. Let's catch up maybe last couple of weeks of the season. Let's see how it's all heading up.
We'll do that. And in the meantime, we'll keep catching you on NBC Sports each and every week. Thank you very much for coming on, as always.
Cheers, mate. It's always a pleasure.
All right. He's the one and only Robbie Earle. You catch him on NBC Sports, the Premier League coverage. Great breakdowns at halftime with him, Kyle Martino, Robbie Musto do a wonderful job. It's time for us to take a quick break here. We'll come back. It is the Best in Soccer Talk, self-proclaimed on ESPN 97.5.
Excited for the start of the new soccer season. They want to remind you that whether it's spring cleaning or spring training camp, it's a great time of the year to shop for affordable energy with Amigo Energy. This month's Amigo Energy featured product is Basics 24-month program. Amigo Energy Basics 24 has no minimum usage fees, no customer service or payment fees, just a great low. Right, shop it, save money. Don't let the dust gather. Go to www.amigoenergy.com/soccer matters and sign up for the Basics 24 and save money, or call 888-995-9299. Tell them you heard it on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. And soccer fans, Bud Light wants to remind you that they are the official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Bud Light reminds you to listen in, call in, engage in the global game weekly on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. They also remind you of all the international competition and live soccer coming your way here in Houston with the Copa Centenario, the Houston Dynamo, and the Houston Dash. Bud Light is the perfect beer for whatever happens. Bud Light, official sponsor of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We'll take a 7-Up, Bar Munich, Gorgeous Scale, Amigo Energy, and Daspit Law Firm break.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, a word here for the Daspit Law Firm and John Daspit. The Daspit Law Firm works for you 24-7. The Houston personal injury attorney handles personal injury cases from industrial accidents, medical injury, 18-wheeler, boat, car, wrongful death, plant, and refinery. DaspitLaw.com. Call 713-322-4878. 713-322-4878. That's DaspitLaw.com. And with the Daspit Law Firm and John Daspit, you can rest assured in times of stress, you have a hard-hitting attorney on your side to fight for your right for compensation. Contact the Daspit Law Firm both in English and Spanish. 713-322-4878. Again, our great sponsors, Bud Light, Daspit Law Firm, 7-Up, Bar Munich, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, The Gorgeous Gale. And by the way, The Gorgeous Gale and Bar Munich get down for their St. Patrick's Day events, and Amigo Energy. So we thank all of you. And right now, caller number 5, you get a pair of tickets to the Houston Dynamo Seattle Sounders at 713-780-3776. Caller number 5, pair of tickets, Dynamo Sounders, 713-780-3776. Earlier today, I caught up with Dynamo manager Owen Coyle. All right, tonight we're going to wrap it up in style as always. This segment with Dynamo manager Owen Coyle is brought to you by HoustonDynamo.com. Now, the Dynamo on the road for their next two this Saturday, March 19th, at Red Bull Arena in New Jersey, even though they're the New York Red Bulls. Frankly, it's New Jersey. And then Saturday, March 26th, we'll go to Vancouver. Then the Dynamo back home Sunday, April 10th against Seattle. That's one you're going to want to get tickets for. And then April 15th, the LA Galaxy and all their stars. So you get your tickets over at HoustonDynamo.com. And the Houston Dynamo bring you right now the Dynamo manager, Owen Coyle. Owen, thank you as always for coming on.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Glenn. Always lovely to chat. You know that.
Well, listen, this was a comprehensive performance. It was over in 27 minutes, maybe even earlier. And it sent sort of shockwaves around Major League Soccer. Just let's get your thoughts on this outstanding victory over FC Dallas 5-0.
Yeah, I think, listen, you and I spoke about this last week. Getting into the game, we knew we were playing against, which they are, an outstanding team. A team that I felt was probably the best team in the MLS last year, although they never got the ultimate prize. So we knew they were going to have to be at our very best from the first whistle, which we were. And you're right, the lads played with real tenacity and real vigour, a lot of quality, culminating in some very good goals, and thoroughly merited the 3 points. But it was great for me because, you know, Dallas, and given it's a Texas derby, they've had somewhat, the Indian sign over the Dynamo for the last 3 years or so. So it was nice that we stopped that and we put our own impression on the game. It was a record score, I think, for the Dynamo in that derby as well. So there's really a lot of positives, and that's great for us moving forward.
You know, Owen, before this game, I said, you know, there is some pressure on the Dynamo here, and I know everybody can go to, well, it's early in the season, but, you know, in year two here and transitioning the team and 11 new players and a lot of things going on, a lot of parts moving. I mean, I'm sitting here going, you want to get off to a good start and you want to light a fire under this fan base, and that's exactly what you did.
No, you're right on that, and I'll tell you why. Not even from, you know, and every point you've made there is all relative to what we're doing, but we and I'm not getting away from this, Glenn. I've said this to you before because you know the way I think and operate. I mean, we were hurt by our performances against Dallas last year in respect of that although we came in the heritage, we just felt that we never got to a level we were capable of. And you have your professional pride and everything else. And given it was a derby and, you know, the Texas rivalry, then we wanted to address that. Now, we are still not the finished article. We've got loads of stuff we want to continue to improve. But we're in far better shape to deal with a team like an FC Dallas than we were last year, because they really punished us with the pace and power they had. And you know what? Really, we did to them on the weekend there what they did to us last year, and that's what was great about it. And all of a sudden, I think early into the game, you could see the FC Dallas players thinking, wow, this is a different team we're playing this year. This is a different makeup. And that was good for me from a coaching perspective to see that from the side of the field.
You know, Owen, the other thing that really struck me from the vantage point of the television booth was after goal number two, after goal number three, the Houston Dynamo never let up. I mean, the foot was on the accelerator. You suffocated them. You never allowed them a moment to breathe and get back into the first half.
No, well, we felt, you know, we chatted about this before the game. We felt that was going to be important because I think FC Dallas, you know, when games start and they're tight games, if you allow them to play in the front foot, they can be difficult opponents because, let's not be kidded, you know, Arute, Barrios, Diaz, Castillo, I mean, these boys are wonderful players in our league and they can hurt any opposition as they have done many, many times. They added Gretzo in the middle of the park. They brought Figueroa in at the back. I mean, this is an improved FC Dallas team from last year, but we knew we had to play in the front foot. And the pleasing thing for me, Glenn, and when I analysed the whole game, is that we gave two types of different performances within the game. We started the game on the front foot knowing that we had to go hell for leather to get in front and dominate the game, which we did. And then at halftime, with all due respect, we knew that we were in a position that, you know, we had the game won. So what we had to do then, and we did it very cleverly in the second half, we actually allowed FC Dallas the ball in the second half to say, well, you can come on to us, which they did. Gave them a little bit of possession, but never at any time did they penetrate us really or hurt us. But knowing that at times we could pick them off on the counter-attack, which we did again. And, you know, there was times actually in the second period when we could have went for further goals, but we managed the game very cleverly. We kept possession, we moved it, went backside. Whereas if the game was tied, 0-0, we'd have been going to get those other goals. So that's for me, my point. That was pleasing for me as a coach because it tells me then that some of the stuff we're trying to, you know, bring on the training field and understand game management and how to manage games, that's getting absorbed by the players. They're taking that on board. And that can only help us in the long term moving forward.
Dynamo manager Owen Coyle joining us here again. Just an absolutely wonderful night down at BBVA Compass Stadium. A 5-0 win for the Dynamo over FC Dallas. You know, Owen, when I left the stadium, the smiles on the fans' faces, the excitement, and the comments I'm getting from so many is they just love that the playing style now is more aggressive. I mean, we're looking up and seeing four players in the penalty area. We're seeing a lot of things that I know it's taken a lot of hard work to get to, and it's still, as you mentioned, not the finished article. But purpose of play is really getting the fans excited.
Well, listen, you know, and I've said to you this from day one, I've got a certain way that I always like my teams playing, and that was to be very offensive-minded. But to do that, I needed certain types of profiles to try and bring that to fruition. Now, again, we will never have, and you know, maybe hopefully in time we do, but we don't have the spending power at this moment in time than really a lot of the clubs in the MLS. So we had to be very clever and selective in terms of the pieces of the jigsaw we wanted to put together. But we want to play with wide players. We want them attacking. We've brought in an old-fashioned number 10, as they call it. So we said we were going to be an exciting team to watch, but equally we want to make sure that you know, we're still doing our job against the ball and gives us the platform to win games. But yeah, we are committing players forward, you know that. Even our two midfielders with Clark and Lima, you know, they're still encouraged to get forward because we think there's goals in them. So, you know, I think it is an offensive team. But it's a team now, Glenn, that can, even when we are absorbing pressure, can hit people in the counter-attack. And with all due respect to the squad we had last year, and there was one or two good technical players, but we didn't have blistering pace. We didn't have real pace and power in the wide areas. So it was taking us an extra pass, really, to get to penetrate other teams who were then had players back in position and were able to deal with our attack better. Whereas now, you know, with one good pass, we can be threatening in behind because we have Wenger and Barnes wide with lightning pace and great quality. We have Will Bruin, who's always going to get goals. Maidana can pick and place those passes. And we have midfielders that are prepared to get forward and score a goal. We have defenders that can weigh in at set plays. And we have fullbacks, I think, that love to get on in the game as well. So, again, you know, nothing's decided in one and lost in two games. We have to be consistent over the course of the season. But we're certainly, we feel, in a better position to be moved forward and been challenging to be in those playoff spots.
Yeah, you know, and it seems like the first time in a couple of years, to your point, that opponents now have to really respect you and maybe fear you on the counterattack a little bit and really have to have that in the back of their mind.
Well, I think that is a huge difference in respect of the mindset that people play. Because I think last year, as much as they looked and felt Houston Dynamo had some good players, I think they would understand, well, do you know what? I don't think they're really going to punish us quickly in a counter-attack. Whereas now, I think they'll look and think, well, we've got to be careful with that ball because, you know, it's a lot of the stuff I say to you every week. If we give the ball away cheaply, teams can hurt you in the opposition. Because even going into the Red Bull game this week, Lloyd Sam, Grella, Wright Phillips, Krejcistan, McCarthy, Felipe, I mean, they'll all look to try and take care of the ball and hit you in the counter. So every week we're coming up against good players in the central areas and the wide areas. But I think they'll look now, it's just a dynamo and feel they're a team with the same. They've got pace, they've got quality, and a team that can hurt you.
Owen Coyle joining us here, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Owen, let's just talk about some injury concerns here. Obviously, Christian Maidana went off, Giles Barnes. What's your thoughts on them right now, obviously being a participant in Saturday's game against the Red Bulls?
Yeah, well, I mean, I always try and, you know, because I know the fans love the program, I know they tune in and listen, I'm always trying to be very informative for them and give them the heads up and be honest. And I think it's fair to say both of those players are a huge doubt for Saturday. Giles was good news in the respect of his hamstring was a grade one, which is the least serious, although they can be anything from 1 to 3 weeks. Now he's desperate to be out there on Saturday because, you know, he's really grasped the captaincy and he's performing and he's showing that, you know, he's very much got the interest of the team and the players at heart. So he's obviously trying to be, but I think it's a big ask, although we'll give him to the last minute on that one. Chaco Maidana, I mean, I think we've all seen how much he was hurt by the head of Figueroa, who I felt, you know, was a straight red card for me. It wasn't given. But what's happened then, he's now, you know, Maidana's been hurt by that because he's been a bit groggy and still not been able to train with the group yet. And that then leads to, you know, if you've had a head knock, there's a certain protocol that you have to follow. So, again, Maidana will be a huge doubt for Saturday. But, again, at the moment as we speak, we'll still get a number of days. So let's see what happens in that. Again, if they miss out, as Tyler Derrick's missed out, and again, he'll miss on Saturday, as Shannon Williams missed out, we've tried to build a roster with people that can come in and be competitive. And to prefer to Bonilla Garcia, he's been fantastic in both games he's come into the play. Young Lionel Mirando did well again when he came in on Saturday, as did David Rocha. So we have players that can step in and help. Ideally, I would have loved, I thought, for the first time, Glenn, I was going to be able to name the same team 3 weeks in a row. But that looks as if it'll be taken away from me. But having said that, we've got players that want to beat the club, players that are ready to step in and play. And we'll go to Red Bull in good heart and good spirit and good confidence, knowing that we have players that can fit into the pieces of the puzzle.
Bonilla Garcia, Owen, seems to be enjoying his football again, it looks like.
Well, I think that's a very fair assessment, and I think it's 100% correct. I mean, I've said to you, I'm a huge lover of Bonilla Garcia as a player, and always have been. And I told him last year, the issue was that he was never really fresh to do himself justice. And the two or three times that he was, then he played to a high level. And I told him in the preseason, you know, when he's fresh and motivated, then, you know, he's a terrific player in the MLS. And he's shown that. He's been very unfortunate, I've got to say, not to be in the starting 11. But that's really primarily down to one of the people we've brought in, the places that we've tweaked. You know, you and I spoke about this last year, and I'm getting away in a tangent, but forgive me. But I think it's important the fans understand. Alex Lima missed the last 2 months of last season, but I'd said to you that I had such a high opinion of him. I knew he could be my central midfield player, because not only does he affect the game getting about and winning second balls, but he's a very clean passer and gives fantastic individual skill. So I knew that that could be an area that we could improve as well. And Ricardo Clark, who is still not up to 100% in terms of fitness because of the injury he missed. You missed 3 weeks, but week by week he's getting better. You know, when you've got them in there as well, I think they really add. And Boniek's probably been really unlucky that he's missed out in that starting slot, because, as you know, he can play in that central midfield area, he can play in a wide area, he can play as a number 10, and he gives us so much quality when he comes into play. So I'm really pleased for Boniek. And, you know, the likelihood is, if any of the lads don't make it, Boniek will be ready to start at Red Bull on Saturday.
Yeah, the depth is interesting and exciting. Today it was interesting and exciting down at your training facility, Houston Sports Park, because you got your Rio Grande Valley USL team there. And then, you know, here's the likes of Agus and a number of players, Kubo Torres, a whole bunch of different players, really getting a good match fitness game in. You're there, you're watching it, the GM is watching it, and it just seemed like a very healthy environment.
Yeah, well, we pride ourselves on making sure we've got a very good environment to work in, so that when people walk in, they sense, you know, this is a good place to be. There's a good atmosphere conducive to a good working environment. And the game today was important, because those lads need a game, because this is something I've always prided myself on wherever I've been playing as part of a group. You know, the player that plays 4 and 5 games this season, he's as important to me as the one that plays 32 and 33. And all the players need to feel that, and that's what we try and do. It's always going to be a fair fight, they understand that. But everybody is going to be called upon at some time. So today's game is perfect for that, because it gets a great workout for the boys. They need a game. You know, Shane Williams to play, you know, Agus, Mansali, you know, Rocha, Manotas, Torres. Young Rob Lovejoy, his first outing, because he was injured pre-season, did very well, as you know, and somebody, you know, I've got high hopes for. So all these boys, you know, they certainly need this game time. And today was great. Eric Torres was in amongst the goals with a great finish. Manotas looked so sharp. So, yeah, it was really pleasing to be able to play that game today at the facility.
He's Dynamo manager Owen Coyle joining us. You did mention Sasha Kleshin, Mike Grella, Lloyd Sam, Bradley Wright Phillips, Felipe McCarty, all guys that can pass the ball, have a good skill set. I'm noticing the front fours in Major League Soccer now. Every team has got dangerous players in their front four. Now, this is a Red Bull team coming off a 3-0 loss. They're coming back home. This is going to be a big challenge, missing potentially Giles Barnes and certainly Christian Maidana.
Yeah, I think, I mean, listen, it's, you know, when I remember you and I having a laugh and a chuckle about this when the fixture list came out, because our first seven opponents were all playoff opponents. And we go from, you know, obviously, the New England, who, you know, lost out the year last in the final to the Galaxy and were playoff contenders last year and did well, to FC Dallas, arguably the best team in the country last year, to now the Supporters' Shield winners and a team packed with talent. But that's why we love, you know, the challenge of the MLS every week, because it throws up these quality games. And Saturday will be no different. And you're right, I've watched both, you know, the Red Bulls games, the first game against Toronto and then the weekend against Montreal. And the margins are so fine. In both games, they could have come out the other side with positive results. So we're under no illusions how difficult this game will be. But, as I say, we go there in good heart. We're looking forward to the game. We'll make sure we're preparing as we always do and looking at this, you know, the fine details, the small details, trying to get them right. And if we do, then we know, and Red Bull will know, you know, we've got a real chance of going there and getting a positive result.
Owen, the process, the process of you watching games, breaking games down, is that still something that you really enjoy doing as part of the whole preparation? Because, you know, that's painstaking, detailed work when you do that. But I get the sense that you really enjoy that part of the job.
No, we do. I mean, as a staff, we do, and we take no, you know, we try and leave no stone unturned, because, as I said before, it could be one little thing that helps you in that game. And but we listen, we love watching games, don't we? That's why it's the best game in the world, and we take pride in watching games. And when you're analysing your opponents, of course, you've got to make sure that you go through that with a fine tooth, you know, make sure that we're covering everything. That's what we try and do. And as I said, you know, both are performances. They've not given bad performances, Red Bull. The margins have been very tight. Even on the weekend, for example, when they're down 1-0 at the time, and Brad Wright-Phillips has a wonderful chance to score and probably should have. Evan Bush makes a great save from the rebound. You know, boy, Danny Toya gets it. A couple of little touches forward. He plays a pass from his inside his own half that releases Piatti, who races through to score 2-0 in the space of 5 seconds. So the game probably should have been tied to 1-1, and they find themselves 2-0 down. So the level we're at now, you know, this is an elite league now in MLS, and that's the margins are so fine. So, as I said before, I know we're going to have to be at our very best, but we've shown in the opening two games that we can be. And if we do that again, we are capable of going there, as I say, and achieving that positive result for the Dynamo and its fans.
Off to a great start, Owen. Big entertainment down at BBVA Compass Stadium. Big win over FC Dallas. We wish you the best of luck. Wish the team the best of luck against the New York Red Bulls.
It's a pleasure, Glenn. Thanks. Really enjoyed the chat, as always.
Always enjoy having you on. That's Dynamo manager Owen Coyle. We wrapped it up in style here tonight for producers Derek Pittman, David Philpott. We thank you for tuning in tonight. Podcast, podcastarena.com, and also on iTunes. Listen to the Owen Coyle interview again, because you can pick up a lot of good bits heading in to the New York Red Bulls game. You can catch that game on Root Sports, the alternate channel. 6 o'clock Central Time is the kickoff. 5:30 is the pregame show. Thank you for listening in tonight. I'm Glenn Davis. Good night.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today. Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.